Scrum is founded on empiricism and lean thinking. Empiricism asserts that knowledge comes from experience and making decisions based on what is observed. Lean thinking reduces waste and focuses on the essentials. So that was a quick reading from the Scrum Guide. Sorry I didn't introduce it to you properly, like many of you have heard me do in the past, but wait for it. There'll be another chance to properly introduce the reading from the Scrum Guide in a moment. Welcome back to Planet Product Owner, where we talk about the art of things, the art side, I guess, more about the thinking patterns. And so if you're on a team, you're joining a team, you're young, you're old, doesn't matter. If you're looking for more about thinking patterns around Agile development, Scrum, and Scaled Agile, you probably found what many believe is the right place, and I welcome you to the journey, my friends. If you're a developer just now tuning in, or anybody on the team for that matter, I've always encouraged my listeners that these are thinking patterns, not absolutes. This is about the art. It's not so much about the science, just in my observations and making decisions from that experience, which I'm a big fan of, because it's one of the principles of Scrum. It's one of the principles of it. So empiricism and lean thinking are really kind of what it's based off of, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Since many of the listeners here are in some kind of scaled agile world, like SAFe, I want to chat a little today about the overwhelmed product owner, because I get a lot of questions on this topic from product owners, because we tend to want to do a great job and we don't want to let things fall through the cracks, right? And lots of times that leads us into like this new dimension, this new world of working on tasks that may or may not add value to our daily lives and what our main focus should be. And what is that, Scott? Well, glad you asked. We'll cover that in a minute. So today, I'm going to talk with you a little bit about how we can get some help from our friends and why it's important to do that. A few topics today, each from the perspective of how the team functions, and maybe give some options on how you can clean up the act a little bit. Share the love. As they say, many hands make light work. This episode is going to be really helpful to all team members, so I hope that you pass it along as you usually do. Now, before we get into today's content, today's episode, real quick, a couple of things about housekeeping here. First, I want to thank everyone for tuning in, sharing, subscribing, providing me feedback via email at scott@planetproductowner.org, and, of course, contributing to the Feed Scott Fund. As you may find my Venmo ID on the details of this podcast, I really appreciate your support. It helps me. Not begging for it, for sure, because I just want to share information. Something was brought to my attention, and I want to make sure that I'm really thanking you during this episode. Before we get into the content, it was brought to my attention this week, or last week, I guess, now, that I was totally unaware of. This podcast is actually in the top 10% globally of all podcasts. That is amazing to me. It's a pretty big deal for a guy who just started this journey of sharing as a hobby, really just kind of a test to figure out, you know, could I help people in their journey? And apparently it is helping you based on the feedback and the numbers that are growing constantly on subscriptions, on listens, on downloads, on plays. I owe the numbers and the success of this podcast, obviously, to you, the listeners and the journeyers, if that's a word. It's a word for us anyway. We're all journeyers here. So that's the first order of business. Now for the second and last order of business, before we get going deeper into the episode today, I want to set the stage a little and recenter you to some context of today's topics. And many of you know and love a reading from the Scrum Guide. Now, in this reading, I'm going to do one or two and then skip a few, so to speak. So the fundamental unit of a Scrum is a small team of people, a Scrum team. The Scrum team consists of, ready for this, one Scrum Master, one Product Owner, and developers. Developers is plural. It's the only one plural there, right? There are no sub-teams or hierarchies. It's a cohesive unit of professionals focused on one objective at a time, the product goal. So we just said what our focus is, right? Scrum teams are cross-functional, meaning the members have all the skills necessary to create value in each sprint. They're also self-managing, meaning they, big pronouns here, internally decide who does what, when, and how. Skip a few. If Scrum team becomes too large, they should consider reorganizing into multiple cohesive Scrum teams, each focused on the same product goal, with the same product goal, product backlog, and product owner. The Scrum team is responsible. They are responsible for all product-related activities, from stakeholder collaboration, verification, maintenance, operation, experimentation, research and development, and all other duties assigned. It actually reads anything else that may be required, but you get it. are structured. They are structured and empowered by the organization to manage their own work. And before you start jumping up and down about that one, I get it. I hear you loud and clear. Not the topic today for today's episode. The entire Scrum team is accountable. The entire Scrum team, they are accountable for creating a valuable, useful increment every sprint. Scrum defines three specific accountabilities within the Scrum team. Developers, the product owner, the Scrum Master. Developers, again, plural. Today, we're going to start out a little bit different. We're going to start with the developers today because I just don't give them enough love on this show. And I've heard it from you. Believe me, I've heard it. And so here we go. This one is going to be primarily with the development team, but product owners and Scrum Masters alike and organizational leaders will obviously learn a lot from today's episode. At least that is my hope in sharing today. So sit tight, buckle up, and let's get to Planet Product Owner. Developers, developers, developers. I love developers. I respect your willingness to solve problems, how proud you are in what you do. You do a lot to make the team go, right? You're plural. You're developers. But today, you're a developer on a team. This is not so much about what you do on a usual basis, a regular basis, because you do a lot. We get that. But this is more about some of the things that maybe you're not doing as it relates to the spirit of the Scrum Guide, at least. Maybe you are. I hope you are. If you're not, this may help. So let's read a little bit, and then I'm going to break it down. And yes, we're still on the many hands make light work theme for the overwhelmed product owner, but this could also be for the overwhelmed team member, okay? Reading from the guide, the specific skills needed by the developers are often broad and will vary within the domain of work. We've talked about domain before. However, the developers are always accountable for these four things. Creating a plan for the sprint backlog, that's one. Two, instilling quality by adhering to a definition of done. Three, adapting their plan each day toward the sprint goal. And four, holding each other accountable as professionals. So we look at these four things that they're always accountable for, right? We've had this conversation before about who owns the sprint backlog. We talked about this. Remember, product owner, you own the team backlog or the feature backlog or the feature list or the set of work items or the sets of goals or whatever it is that you call it that you're preparing for them. And I'm hoping that you're staying at least two sprints ahead of the team. You know, you're doing that, right? But they own the sprint backlog. The development team, the developers, they own the sprint backlog. So I hear a lot of folks saying, you know, they may say, hey, Scrum Master, can you do me a favor and create me a story or create me a task? Or product owner, can you create me a story or create me a task? And see, this stems from the fact that today's world, particularly like in the safe world, we're in some kind of tool that we use today that adds to the traceability, right? It's not like the old days anymore. God, I miss those days where we just had legal pads, index cards, whiteboards, sticky notes, colored pencils, you know, dry erase markers, whatever. I really miss those days. But this is where we are. The idea that you become a secretary may be valid, right? But the question is, are you helping them help you? Is this a task that's adding value? Are your efforts leading to an efficiently operating team that's on a mission to inspect and adapt to continually improve the product and the result? Or are we majoring on the minors, right? So that's kind of the question I'd pose to you. So, see, we're a team. So are these things that you're doing, product owner, developer, Scrum Master, is it helping to deliver the stuff or not? Are you reaching the goal of delivering complete and usable software that can be demonstrated and potentially shippable at the end of an increment? And if so, then your efforts for writing this stuff or being a secretary or an author or running to go get coffee or putting candy on the table, those are probably valuable uses of your time, right? Now, if the stuff that you're doing is not adding value, it's not contributing to the delivery of what it is we got to deliver to our users, then I would definitely say that these sets of tasks, probably among others, right, probably not a productive, valuable use of your time. Now, I'm going to take a step back here. A lot of times when I'm helping to facilitate a retro, I'm going to ask these questions. Three questions. What are we going to stop doing, start doing, and keep doing? So here's the big question. Why And you knew that was coming, right? Because it's Scott. Scott's always into the why. The why is the important part. Why do I ask the questions the way that I do? Well, I'm asking what we're going to stop doing because I want to know what is not adding value. And when I say adding value, what I mean by that is it helping us to deliver the product goal? Because you can append that to each one of these statements. So, for example, what are we going to stop doing because it's not helping us reach our sprint goal or it's not helping us deliver our product? I'm asking what we're going to start doing because I want to help us understand what things can help us get into a smoother groove to reach the delivery goal. I'm asking what we're going to keep doing because these are the things that we credit with getting us into that good groove. And we don't want to lose the traction of delivering our product, of delivering what it is we want to get out there. So remember, we're gauged and we should be measured by the product we deliver. And it's not about who does what. Small aside here. Because we miss a lot of that, right? We miss that. But part of that is the journey and the process, right? In how we're making this thing happen. And so kind of a small aside here, I've mentioned to you before, I coach sports. One of the reasons that I coach sports is not necessarily to win at all costs. It's about the process that gets us there. And again, process has to improve the product, right? So I truly believe that personal interaction, collaboration, negotiation, cooperation, all that stuff's becoming a lost art. So I want to see the team, as a team, do something together, which is more than what they thought they could have done by themselves. Once you get a group trusting in each other, there's no telling what they can do together. So product owners and developers, you guys can lose trust with each other very quickly, right? If you're asking each other to do tasks that you could do yourself. If you're asking each other to do things, if you're assigning work to each other, because really that's what you're doing when you're saying that, right? And there's a fundamental problem with all that, right? Team decides who does what, when, and how. It's not on you to say, I want you to go and do this, or I want you to go and do that, or can you get so-and-so to do this? See, there's something about this that I'm going to share with you that relates to your other relationships as well, just generically speaking, I guess, or generally speaking. And while I was thinking about this topic, I thought, no, Scott, please don't go there, but I have to go there. The reason that a lot of relationships have problems and drama is because somebody's selfish, right? That's it. So for some of you, you've probably already heard enough, and I hope you'll tune in next time. But if you're still with me, hang tight, and I'm going to clarify that a little bit. We don't want that to interfere with what we're doing as a team, right? So we're self-directed, we're self-managing, we're left to our own devices to figure out, right, to figure it all out, and to be held accountable as a group on the successes and the challenges that we face and the learning, right? So developers, here's the question for you. If we're self-managing, then how would it feel to you when a product owner or scrum master comes in and just barks at you and says, hey, I've got this story right here. I want you to code it. Well, that's not a really good impression, right? So how is that going to make you feel? Probably not very good. So I wouldn't expect you to expect another team member to do whatever it is that you tell them to do, right? So think about that for a second. Saying that, developers, listen up. Maybe I'm reading into this too much, but I don't think I am. In a moment, we're going to find out what the product owner is accountable for, a little bit anyway. And guess what? It's not the sprint backlog. That's yours. I know. We got a lot of debate. We got a lot of theory about that because in the real world, product owners are the only people in the organization who are qualified enough to actually author these things. But here's where I'm going to challenge that. Going back to the first part of Scrum Guide, it clearly states the team is responsible for the outcome, right? The team is responsible for the outcome. It's a cohesive unit. Now, the debate comes in, well, our team usually commits to more than one objective at a time because it says it's a cohesive unit of professionals focused on one objective at a time, the product goal. Well, that's a different topic, different episode. My friends, today we're going to stay on point. The point is that the full team must consider what we do and what it takes to meet the goals and the objectives. And I've said this before, that a lot of organizations kind of get those words twisted, but think of it like this. Objective is something you're going to actually deliver on in hopes that you meet the goal, which is a generic idea of what it is you want to move. You want to move the needle one way or the other, right? That's your goal. So I wanted to talk about the Scrum Master and the product owner, right, in the next segment, but I think I'm going to have to split that into another episode, and I'll follow that one up pretty quick after this one, by the way. Today, let's give some thought to how we can help the developers work into their own journeys of becoming more lean, more agile, more in the spirit of Scrum. So in the next segment, if you'll stick around, I think there's some tangible practices, some things that I'm going to offer to you that could help with it, but only consider this if you want to be more productive and less busy. Only consider this if you really want to be part of that cohesive team and if you're really eating, living, and breathing this stuff, right? As a reminder, if you're a developer just now tuning in, or anybody on the team for that matter, and you're just now tuning in, I've always encouraged my listeners here that these are thinking patterns. These are not absolutes. Something to shock the system, something you might be able to take away with. So let's get to the next segment and we'll talk about those things. So if you fast forwarded through the beginning of the segments and you missed out on the beginning of it, shame on you, first of all. But second, you may have missed something. So go back and listen, because I know typically I have some fluff at the beginning of the thing. But today was a little bit different. So the things, let's talk about some of the things here. Let's explore a few things. And I think there are three things that I'd like to kind of offer today that I think the development team could help with. Maybe they're doing it. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's something they're doing and maybe could improve, right, for the result that we're looking for, which is obviously delivery and quality in what we're doing, right? But it's also going to promote total autonomy and ownership to make decisions needed to improve the product and the process. And remember, the process has to improve the product, right? Referring back to the top of the first part of what I covered, this has everything to do with empiricism and lean delivery, which again, you know, some of these fundamental pillars of Scrum, right, should be considered vital principles of our day-to-day journeys here. So the first thing that I would offer to you is create your team stories. I know that's a small start, right? If you're not doing that today, I would encourage you to start doing that. You see, your team stories should reach the goals of the product owner's seed stories. So I just said two different things there. Product owner, this means that you're creating those seed stories, or those stories that are at a high enough level to split, slice, whatever you want to use it, whatever term you want to call it, right? Let the team decide if the story is too large. If it is, then let them actually split that story, because who owns the sprint backlog? The developers. Product owner, your job in this is developing and explicitly communicating the product goal. If you have done this, and that's not to be confused with the sprint goal, that's a team decision, all right? But if you have done this, and if you have developed and explicitly, transparently communicated the product goal, let the team figure out what they need to do in order to meet that. You're going to promote a better spirit of ownership by doing it this way. And you won't have folks just coding from stories anymore. You know, we've all heard that. I just code the stories, boss. Well, we don't want them in that mindset because they're part of the team. And we're going to dive into that one a little bit here in a minute in the next segment. The second thing is, after you're starting to create the team stories, the second thing I would offer here is get engaged a little more at the business side. Listen in and learn on the business side of life a little bit more, developer. The guide tells us that the Scrum team is responsible for all, and hang on a minute, before I go any further, all. The word all in Greek is all. So here's why I'm saying that. Believe it or not, in this podcast, only 34% of my listening audience is in the United States. So that means that I have all these different languages, and virtually all countries are represented in the listenership here, which again, floors me. I'm flattered. I really appreciate it. I'm only saying that not to boast. I'm saying that because definitions and words mean something, and it means something different in every language. So, but the word all is something that we can agree on, right? The Scrum team is responsible for all product-related activities, from stakeholder collaboration, verification, maintenance, operation, experimentation, research, and development, and anything else that might be required. So, sure, you're heads down coding, you're managing technical tasks, you're designing, you're architecting, you're engineering. But something magic really happens when you get more engaged with the business side. A couple of benefits from that. One is you start making your own takeaways, obviously, but there's something even more special about engaging with the business side that's really instrumental in our team's success. And you don't have to hear it secondhand. That's what it's about, right? The next thing is that you add a whole new perspective to the understanding of what is being asked. And you can already reduce time and waste in what we call a handoff. You can refer to the last episode for more information on hands off my handoff that I'm talking about here. And so in the spirit of empiricism and lean development, you just started working on reducing waste, reducing cycle time. You started making decisions based on observations and experience. But how are you going to get experience in what it is that we're asking you to do if you're not getting in on the business side? And product owner, don't you start getting defensive now. I love it when developers join me in business work sessions. Love it. Got to have them, you know? I don't want to protect that little kingdom of mine. I want to make sure I'm extending it, right? I mean, the more we know, that's it, the more we know. So the third thing that I think you can actually tactically, tangibly do here is make time for your own backlog elaboration time, just like the product owner does. Developers, this is a big deal. You as well have to make room to work on your work, not just in your work. Get a plan together. Go ahead and set some time for that. Stay ahead of what's coming. The trouble I see a lot of times is that developers are working on whatever the product team feeds them. They may ask technical questions about it, which is fine. But at the end of the increment, they have zero idea on what they just did. They couldn't pitch this to a room full of three-year-olds, right? You get a requirement off of the stack. You test it. You code it. You test it. You get another requirement off the stack. And you wash, rinse, and repeat the whole process. And I know you want to develop code. And I know you want to solve problems. And I know you want to have quality in it. But I also know that you want to help. So a lot of times helping is not just about coding the work or testing the work or delivering the work. But you also don't want to be in a position that the overwhelmed product owner is in either, right? So I think what I'm after here and what I'm trying to tell you and explain to you and help you with is that some of the ceremonies even that are described in the guide, they get so institutionalized or organizationalized that we take them for granted and we just go through the process and we check the box, or we may even skip them. And sure, we have sprint planning. Yes, we have retros and we have other checkpoints for quality and status and whatever. But the big question for your development team is this to remember is, are you planning your work or are you simply working someone else's plan? See, are you in the nest just waiting to get little baby worms dropped into your mouth like a baby bird in a nest? Or are you going to play ball with the rest of the team and study the game film and the, and do the game prep and all of that stuff like the captain and the seniors do, right? So let's get some skin in the game here, okay? Now, you may ask, how are these things going to help the overwhelmed product owner? Well, I'm going to talk about in the next and final segment of some areas that are going to help the product owner and the team overall if you as a developer consider some of these things as part of your daily routine, okay? So, again, just suggestions, and you don't have to stick to these three. I'll just summarize briefly, but one is creating the team stories, and you can't do that until the product owner has effectively and transparently and clearly communicated what the outcome is, what the product goal is. And it would really be nice to have some seed stories to base that off of, product owner, okay? Let them split it up. Developers, listen in and learn on the business side of life a little bit more. You'd be amazed at what happens when you inject yourself into those conversations a little bit more. You give a whole new personality, a whole new perspective. And the third thing, finally, just to summarize, is make time for your own backlog elaboration. Which kind of backlog elaboration is that? It's your sprint backlog. It could be your team backlog. It could be whatever it is you're working with your product owner on. The spirit of collaboration. All right. So stick around for the next segment, and I'm going to tell you a little bit on how this is going to help the team and the product owner specifically here. Stick around. So you've made it this far into the journey today. At least I hope you've stuck around for this one. This has been kind of difficult, really, because I hate talking to developers and like offering them suggestions because, you know, they solve problems for a living. That's just what they do. So it's a little weird for me. But this is all in the spirit of many hands make light work, and we're a team, right? So about that part, right? Do you have any idea how much time a product owner spends in writing, editing, rewriting, rewording, updating, elaborating, whatever the words are, right? They want to find the right word choices, the right flow diagrams, the right terms and domain language, you know, when they're writing and authoring these stories. And it's like, okay, so I'm coming from a perspective of a business person who really doesn't know technology. Should I use the word link or button? Probably not, right? Because that's kind of getting into the how. Because believe me, product owner, that means something totally different to your dev team. A link or a button is two different things, right? So it becomes really difficult for us as product owners and developers. You see now what I'm talking about, that product owners are really kind of out there on an island. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to write a story that makes sense to a development team, because what they want to do is they want to identify and eliminate, or at least reduce all the objections that they can think of. They want to anticipate that and get ahead of it so that they're making very clear requests for you, okay? They want to get ahead of lots of questions because they want to be efficient story writers. They want to move this needle forward, right? And I think sometimes product owners tend to go a little overboard with the story writing, okay? So developers, by creating your team stories for the sprint backlog, which you own, okay, will take the pressure off the product owner from both, like, their own writer's block. You know, we've talked about developers having writer's block before. You're going to take the pressure off of the product owner from their own writer's block, but it's also going to be in terms that you understand. You and the team can understand that now, right? So this gives the whole team, right, the opportunity to collaborate on it, make sure we're all saying the same thing, we're in the same domain language, we're speaking the same terms, we're on the right track. It also gives the product owner confidence that you understand what's being asked for, and it just inherently builds trust. Ultimately, you've saved the team all the time in the explanation. You've saved the product owner from the stresses of making sure that it's adequately written for your enjoyment, and you haven't nitpicked it to death, somebody else's work. Now you're on the hook for nitpicking the work, right? And you've already gotten a technical approach figured out while you come to understand the business perspective and the ask. Now, Scrum Master, how can you help in this? All right, Scrum Master, here we go. And I haven't given you a lot of love either. You don't need any love, Scrum Master. You love yourself too much. No, I'm kidding. So here we go. Here's some tips for you on how you can help in this new team order of operations, right? Number one, find time in the retro to talk about some of the gaps we have in total team ownership of the outcomes, total team ownership, autonomy. How can you help facilitate that, right? That's what we want to get to. We want to understand, what are the gaps? What are the disconnects? What are the things that are keeping us from having total team ownership of our outcome? Okay. And I ain't talking about stuff that you can't control. I'm talking about stuff you can control. You already know that. Number two, really get to the root of the question if you're struggling with delivering working software. Really get to the root of it. What is the root cause? What is the problem? What is it that's keeping us from? What is it that we are struggling with delivering working software? When you're facilitating the retro, you know, that's what you want to get to. And then guess what? Transparently, you have to communicate that across the art or across the train or across the group or the org or whatever it is your chain of command is. Okay. And finally, be open to changing things yourself, Scrum Master. Sometimes you need a shock to the system, right? You gotta shock the system sometimes. I've heard salespeople talk about that a lot when they get into the doldrums. And a lot of salespeople talk about the J's, you know, because everybody's on vacation or they're recovering from Christmas. And maybe they get into this lull where they're not selling anything anymore and they have to do something really, really big to shock their system. Maybe that's what you need if you're really struggling with delivery. Shock the system, man. And oh, I know, by the way, that I've hit a nerve with Scrum Master. So let me back up and tell you why I'm giving you this friendly recommendation or this set of friendly recommendations. And I won't read the whole thing, but here it is from the Scrum Guide. Just quickly, and again, I'll follow up with an episode later for you guys for Product Owner Scrum Master as soon as I can. Scrum Master serves the Scrum team in several ways, including coaching the team members in self-management and cross-functionality. I mean, that pretty much, I don't have to read anything else, right? The next is helping the Scrum team focus on creating high-value increments that meet the definition of done. The third is causing the removal of impediments to the Scrum team's progress And finally, ensuring that all Scrum events take place are positive, productive, and kept within the time box. Now, if you go back and you look at this and you say, okay, Scott, now I understand why you're saying find time in the retro to talk about some of the gaps we have in total team ownership of your outcomes. It's because that's what we are doing. That's what we should be doing. The second one was really getting to the root of the problem. Maybe if you're struggling with delivering work in software when you're facilitating that, because that again is what we're trying to do, and be open to things, to changing things yourself, right? Because that would be part of maybe sometimes, maybe just maybe, self-management cross functionality, but also causing the removal of impediments to the Scrum team's progress, right? So here's the ways that the developer's helping. If you're adopting some of these things, and you're not coding story by story by story by story anymore, you're not just taking things off the stack, and working somebody else's plan. If you consider doing some things a little bit differently, shock your system a little bit, right, and offer a new perspective and reduce risk along the way. So, developer, you don't have to take any of these things into consideration that I talked about today, all right? Just like anybody else who's ever listened to this show, I always say it's a thinking pattern. I always say it just gives you some ideas. I want you to think outside the box. I want you to be innovative. I want you to create these things on your own, because that's what this whole thing is about. But some of the metrics maybe that you should be seeking to improve, and this is daily, this is like all the time, right? You should be continually improving in these three metrics, really, developers. Improved quality, and maybe you qualify that with defects, I don't know, but improved quality, whatever your metric is. The next one is reduction of waste, because you want to reduce waste, by the way, and you're going to reduce waste, I think, if you're reducing risk, right? And the third one, finally, is increased cycle time. You want to increase cycle time. So those three metrics are what the developers should be really focusing on here. Improved quality, reduction of waste, increased cycle time. Trust me when I tell you, developers, that the team needs you. You're not forgotten. You're a critical part of the success of this team. Remember to refer to the reading. There was a reason that you were the only group of plurals on the team, and it wasn't the Scrum Master or the product owner that was mentioned as plural. So I hope today's episode has helped you. Thanks again for joining me today. And in the journey, hit me up on email here at scott@plantproductowner.org for feedback. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, and I will get back to you, I promise, as soon as I possibly can. And as always, have a safe and fun journey, my friends.